Michigan avoids the trap game against Indiana, and onward come the Buckeyes. We'll recap another stunning performance by Shea Patterson and the Wolverines this past Saturday. We'll get you ready for the game. We'll chat with Kyle Rowland. He covers Ohio State for the Toledo Blade. Get you some weekly picks and a whole lot more. It's Michigan Ohio State week. It doesn't get any better than this. And it's coming your way next on this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. Welcome to this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. I'm your host, Kevin Rich. As always, you can tweet me at krich23. You can email the show at hailtothepod@gmail.com. And of course, you can download and subscribe to the podcast anywhere your favorite podcasts are found, including Google Play, Apple iTunes, and Spotify. If you subscribe, anytime there's a new episode, it will get downloaded automatically to your listening device. Well, the Wolverines, they avoid the trap in Indiana, a team that always seems to give Michigan some fits when they match up. Not the case on Saturday. Michigan with a commanding 39-14 victory over the Hoosiers. Michigan now winners of four straight, dominating their opponents, averaging 41.5 points per game. The defense averaging 11.3 points per game given up. That's an average margin of victory in the last four of 30 points, folks. 30 points Michigan been winning by in the last four games. And you can easily make the argument that Michigan is one of the hottest teams in college football right now, which, hey, perfect timing going into the game this Saturday, which we'll preview in great detail here on the podcast shortly. But the game this past Saturday, Shea Patterson, I mean, he is just playing the best football of his life right now. He goes for 366 yards in the air, throws for five touchdowns. He's the first quarterback in Michigan history to throw for four or more touchdowns in consecutive games, only the second player in Michigan history with five passing touchdowns in a game. Jake Rudock had six against Indiana in 2015, and is now only the fourth quarterback in Michigan history with 20 passing touchdowns in multiple seasons. He joins a list that includes Chad Henne, John Navarre, and Elvis Gerback. Pretty good company there. And certainly the perfect time of the year for him to be this locked in with those folks from Columbus coming to Ann Arbor on Saturday. Now, Shea, of course, he's getting plenty of help from the receivers. Great games all around. Nico Collins, what a game by him. Career best, 165 yards, two touchdowns, one of which was all highlight reel material. DPJ, not to outdo him, all highlight reel material on his touchdown catch. And how about Ronnie Bell? He has been so crucial for Michigan this year. You had to feel so good for him getting his first touchdown reception of his career on Saturday. The running game, Michigan didn't really need much of it Saturday. Only 21 carries between Charbonnet and Haskins. Really nice 22-yard run by Charbonnet early in the game. But Michigan, more focused on the pass here, and for good reason. They've been lights out through the air, and the pass game has been setting up the run game really well. Think about that for a second. We talk about the run game setting up the pass. It's the pass game that set up the run for Michigan. And that's what we wanted to see Michigan's offense do. More of what they did in the second half against Penn State. And that's what they've done over the last few weeks, minus the Notre Dame game where they showed that, hey, if we need to get up against you and we need to run the ball effectively, we can figure out a way to do that too. Defensively, another great performance by the defense. You know, they gave up two touchdowns early in this one, but they adjusted quickly. They shut out Indiana in the second half. They stopped them from continuing that dink and dunk crap that they did early in the game. And boy, did they ever get after Peyton Ramsey. Josh Uche blowing up that jet sweep. That was a thing of beauty. Followed not too long after by the strip sack and fumble recovery. He was balling out on Saturday, as was Michael Dwumfor at the linebacker position as well. You know, the way the defense is playing, you get a sense that they have a realistic shot of slowing down the Ohio State freight train this weekend. It's not going to be easy, and we'll talk about it in more detail here shortly. But Michigan, the way they're playing on defense, they certainly have a very good shot of slowing down that Ohio State defense. And if you're going to be playing really good football at a certain time of the year, now's a good time for them to be playing it as they look to try and knock off Ohio State on Saturday. So a dominant win for the Wolverines against Indiana on Saturday. They continue a massive winning streak against the Hoosiers, playing their best football of the season, coming at a perfect time because you get the sense they're going to need a complete game to take down Ohio State this Saturday. The game we wait for all year is finally here as Michigan welcomes their arch rival, the Ohio State Buckeyes, to the Big House on Saturday. Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the country, according to the College Football Playoff rankings, and undefeated as well. And joining me to help preview the game is Kyle Rowland. Kyle covers Ohio State for the Toledo Blade, our friendly neighbor down south. You can read his work at ToledoBlade.com or find him on Twitter at Kyle Rowland. Kyle, thank you for taking some time with me today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you asked me to come on. It should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, Kyle, it's been documented over the years that when a new coach comes in and replaces a really successful coach, there's usually a bit of a falling off for the football team. That has not happened. Ryan Day takes over for Urban Meyer. They haven't missed a beat. In fact, really putting together a really dominant football season. What in your mind has made Ryan Day so successful taking over that football team?
I mean, part of it is just the sheer amount of talent Ohio State has on their roster. It's pretty easy to look good when you've got a number of first-round draft picks and Heisman Trophy candidates and all that. But, I mean, if you really get down to it, I mean, I think Ryan Day is a very good coach. Obviously a bright offensive mind. He's great with quarterbacks. I mean, he's a guy who has Chip Kelly as a mentor and obviously has worked closely with Urban Meyer for several years. I think all that kind of helps him. And things were just so well in place at Ohio State. The strength coach stayed, the recruiting coordinator stayed, the kind of the general manager, so to speak, of the program stayed. So while there was a transition, it wasn't a transition in the sense of, you know, mass turnover, you're in this new place. I mean, he was an assistant coach there and was successful at that. He had a kind of a three-game test last year when Urban Meyer was suspended. So there's just a lot of things that played in his favor. This kind of added up to why Ryan Day has been so successful this year.
So let's get into the game on Saturday. The Ohio State offense has been unreal this year. They have the best scoring offense in the nation. They're averaging 49 plus points per game. That's actually 14 points more than the second best scoring offense in the Big Ten in Minnesota. They're top in the Big Ten, top five in the country in rushing offense and passing efficiency. How does this explosive offense this season compare to some of the offenses you've seen come out of Columbus over the last few seasons?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different than last season, and more closely aligned with the, you know, JT Barrett, Braxton Miller era offenses. I mean, it was a pass heavy offense last year. Didn't rely a whole lot on the run. It was just Dwayne Haskins all day, every day. Now you get a little more of the dual threatness in, Justin Fields. They're very run heavy. I mean, J.K. Dobbins runs the ball a lot. He's obviously been very effective at that. The line isn't as great at pass protection as it is at, you know, opening holes for the running back. Fields has been sacked a fair amount of times this year, or they've been flushed out of the pocket and scrambled. That's going to be a thing that's key for Michigan this week. I mean, saw it a lot last week with, the Penn State game where he was able to extend drives with his legs, and it's just so important for Michigan to, if you get Ohio State in, you know, third and long or third and medium, to not allow, you know, Justin Fields to figure something out with his legs. So they can certainly throw the ball if they need to. A whole bunch of really good wide receivers. Chris Olave is the number one option for Fields. But it's a team that can run the ball and runs the ball pretty well.
So you mentioned some of this, you know, Justin Fields, he can hand the ball off to J.K. Dobbins. He can obviously keep it himself. He can find the open receivers. The O-line's been, you know, setting up some nice blocks there for the running game. Michigan's defense, on the other hand, you know, they've been playing really well down the stretch. They're the fourth best defense in the country right now. What are some of the keys for them in terms of, you know, how you draw up a game plan? Maybe Penn State showed a little bit last week, although they kind of lucked out with some of the fumbles in some of that sloppy weather. But how do you think that Michigan defense, you know, sets up? What do they have to do to slow down that offensive attack?
Yeah, I mean, it sets up well because, I mean, Michigan's defense is good. Stifling the run, I mean, we always talk about this kind of stuff. You know, games are won in the trenches, whatever. It's a cliche, but right. It's true. I mean, Justin Fields has not been in a true four-quarter, like, barn burner where every play of the game was so important. I mean, last week was the first time they were really tested, but they were tested because of their own mistakes, and it came, you know, during a stretch of the second half. I mean, Iowa State controlled the first half, you know, basically the entire first half. I mean, if they get in a game where he really has to be at his best and throw the ball well from the first snap of the game to the last snap of the game, I mean, I think it would be interesting to see how he reacts to that. I mean, he's a good thrower of the football, but it's a little different when you have a third down and you must complete a pass than to what he's faced the rest of this season. So trying to make them more one-dimensional is the key. If it comes down, if Ohio State can run the ball effectively, I would be stunned if they lost. I mean, turnovers would obviously have to come into play, I think. And that's where I think the weather forecast actually favors Ohio State if there is this rain and sleet and snow that they're kind of talking about and some wind. Just because I think they have the better offensive line, the better defensive line, and the better running back. And if it gets into a sloppy game, that would favor them. But Michigan's secondary, I think, is pretty good. They could definitely cause problems with Fields' accuracy and maybe Ohio State's receivers not getting as open as much. So I think the main key there for Michigan's defense is to get Ohio State throwing the football and forcing Justin Fields to complete passes.
Yeah, it certainly seems like the plan of attack that they'd be drawing up, of course, being able to execute that against an offense that's been playing really well this year is could be pretty tough to do. But when we look on the other side of the ball, we talked about Ohio State. They've got the best defense in the Big Ten going up against a Michigan offense that's been playing very well lately. Chase Young, I mean, it seems to me the only way you can really neutralize him is put maybe two, sometimes even three guys on him. Talk about what he's meant to the Buckeye defense.
He's meant everything. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. I mean, seeing it kind of up close this year has been something else. There's a no-win situation with him, honestly, because I just don't know. I mean, Wisconsin even, I mean, they tried to double-team him, and it didn't really work. And if you do double-team him effectively, I mean, it leaves some other area that's open to be attacked. And Iowa State's got enough other good players to, you know, make that be an issue for the opponent. So I just don't know what you do. I mean, no one's right. been able to stop him. And if you don't stop him, then it's a major, major problem. I mean, I think Michigan's best hope is, you know, instead of three sacks, he has one sack and, you know, another tackle for loss or something. That would be a win for them. But I think Ohio State's defensive line and Chase Young specifically is the area that's 100% going to be the most difficult for Michigan to game plan. I mean, it's just a game planning nightmare. If you talk to coaches, you know, after they play Ohio State, they just kind of throw their arms up and don't really know what the solution is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Chase Young gets all the praise and attention, but Ohio State has some big, big playmakers on that defense besides him. We've seen Michigan, you know, they've used the passing attack to beat up on Indiana and Michigan State the last few weeks. We talked about maybe some bad weather on Saturday. They used a dominant running game to make easy work out of Notre Dame, which was a bit of a surprise. You thought maybe the bad weather in that one would have played more to Notre Dame's favor, but Michigan took them to the woodshed there. I guess if there's one area of this defense that Michigan may be able to exploit or have some success against, where would that area be?
Yeah. I think it's the passing game, and I don't think it's necessarily because Ohio State's secondary isn't good. It's very capable. I mean, Jeffrey Okuda is going to be a very high draft pick. They've got a few other guys that are definitely going to be, you know, have careers on Sunday in the NFL. I think it's mostly because Shea Patterson is playing the best football of his life, and I have a feeling he'll play well on Saturday. I mean, it's his final Ohio State game, his senior day, all that kind of stuff adds in. But I expect him to have a solid day. I think Ohio State will probably give up the most passing yards they've given up all season. By far going to be their biggest challenge of the year. I think it'll be interesting to see how good Nico Collins can be. I mean, I think a lot of him. I think he's great. But he's going to be matched up against Okuda, which, I mean, he's going to get shut down pretty well, I think. So I think that opens up the door for Donovan Peoples-Jones to be to have a big day. I think he's had a good second half of the season. And Ronnie Bell is just so good. I mean, very unheralded recruit that has really paid off well for Michigan. I think one of those kind of lesser guys, not the headliner, will have a big day. And there's so many examples throughout the years in this Ohio State-Michigan game where an unexpected player kind of rises up and impacts the outcome. Last year, Chris Olave, no one really even knew who he was until the Ohio State-Michigan game. And then he makes his mark, and he'll live in Ohio State lore forever for the way he played last year. So there's going to be some Michigan receiver that's little known that I think will have some major catches on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. We saw Haskins come in the game a couple years ago and put the team on his shoulders. So let's prognosticate a little bit. You know, we know Ohio State winners of 7 in a row in the series. Michigan does get that home crowd in Ann Arbor, senior day, chance to spoil Ohio State's perfect season. Ultimately, how do you expect the game to play out? You know, who wins? What do you think the final score looks like?
I think it's going to be a tremendous game. I did not think that in September. And, I mean, as recently as a month ago, maybe, I didn't think that. But, I mean, Michigan is playing really, really well. It's a road game for Ohio State. I don't know, just all these kind of factors add up to it, you know, being a good game. I just think too much has to happen for Michigan to win. I really believe there's a wide, you know, talent disparity in Ohio State's favor. If they don't turn the ball over, I just have a hard time seeing them lose. I mean, last week against Penn State, who comparable to Michigan, I would actually say Michigan's a better team at this point. Ohio State still won by 11, right, and there was a 17-point swing with turnovers. I mean, that just kind of speaks to how good Ohio State is, how dominant they are. I mean, you have Chase Young to worry about. There's so many weapons on offense to worry about. I mean, it's just like, is all of this going to go wrong on one day? I mean, certainly it could, and weird things happen in rivalry games. But that said, I mean, 31-21 Ohio State is what I've been saying this week. So hard-fought game. I think it's going to go deep into the fourth quarter. It will be in doubt, but at the end of the day, I think Ohio State's just too deep and too good to lose this game.
Kyle, one more for you, and then I know I got to get you to your next commitment. But there's been some talk this week that Ohio State has some wiggle room here, you know, based on how good they've played, how well they've played this season. You know, there's a chance in a sense that they could maybe lose a close one here and then go on and win the Big Ten championship game, and they'd still be in the playoffs. So kind of a twofold question for you. If that were to happen and they were to lose a close one to Michigan but then win the Big Ten championship, do you expect them to still make the playoff? And then if they did lose to Michigan and went on to actually win the title, how would that be received in Columbus? I saw you did a little Twitter poll the other day asking that question. So I wanted to kind of get your feedback on that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. I'll get to that in a minute. The first part, yeah, I think 100%. I mean, if they lose to Michigan and then beat Minnesota or Wisconsin, I think for sure they're in. I don't see any scenario where they wouldn't be. And the same for Minnesota. I mean, if Minnesota wins the Big Ten championship, I think they're in with as a one-loss team. The second part, yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, like, Ohio State people are just obsessed with Michigan. I mean, you see it in, like, the TV ratings for Michigan games. You see it on message boards, on Twitter, on everything. I mean, it is a year-long thing where they eat, drink, and sleep Michigan all year. So I went to Twitter and put up the poll of, you could lose to Michigan and win the title, or win the title, or excuse me, beat Michigan, lose the national championship, lose to Michigan, win the national championship. And 41 percent of people, and there were, I don't know, over 3,000 votes, I think, said they would rather beat Michigan and lose in the championship game, which just speaks to how big this game is, how big it is for Ohio, and just it's a pretty shocking result, I think.
Yeah, I was surprised your poll was that close. I mean, you know, obviously you wanna beat your arch rival, but the grand scheme of it all, and when you look at, you know, your college football season in total, you know, the goal, ultimate goal, is to win the national championship. So the fact that only, you know, 59% of folks say, you know, they'd rather lose to Michigan but win the playoff, win the championship.
I think a lot of it has to do with Jim Harbaugh. Like, right. if someone else was Michigan's coach, I think it would be closer to 80-20 or 90-10. But I mean, Ohio State fans just dislike Jim Harbaugh so much that I don't think they could stand losing to him.
Yeah. Well, we will get to see the game on Saturday. Rivalry games, crazy things happen. He's Kyle Rowland. Kyle covers Ohio State for the Toledo Blade. You can read his work at ToledoBlade.com. Find him on Twitter at Kyle Rowland. Kyle, thank you so much for the time today, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Hey, how about that? Another very profitable week last week. Two strong weeks for the picks. Picks are 5-2-1 over the last 2 weeks. Lock of the week, 2-0 over that 2 week stretch, and 7-6 on the season. Profitability is a good thing. Quick note on the picks this week. There are a lot of games on Friday this week. It was too tough to pick four of my favorite games all on Saturday. I did pick three on Saturday, including the lock of the week, but I do have one Friday game in here, so wanted to give you the heads up on that. And that first one, that Friday game, it's Arkansas State. We're going to head to Ladd Peoples Stadium, not the biggest game in Alabama this weekend, but one that's easy to bet on. It's a Friday game. Arkansas State heads to town to face South Alabama. This is just a good karma pick since Michigan welcomes Arkansas State to the Big House next year. But in all reality, Arkansas State playing really good football. They're looking for their eighth win of the season. Alabama State, on the other hand, has been brutal. They are 1-10. Their only win came against a lousy FCS team. South Alabama needs to make some coaching changes this offseason. Arkansas State, they look to keep rolling and get into an even better bowl game. They should blow these guys out on Friday. I'm taking Arkansas State 11-point road favorites. In the ACC, my beloved betting team, the Boston College Eagles, they head on the road to Pittsburgh where they are 9-point underdogs. Seriously? Pitt just got shut out by my lock of the week, Virginia Tech, last week. Boston College, they beat Virginia Tech earlier this season. This spread is way too inflated because Notre Dame took Boston College to the woodshed last week. Other than that, Boston College, they're not great, 5-6 on the season, but they've been playing teams tough, and they usually find out a way to end up on the right side of the cover here. The game means a lot more to them than it does to Pitt. Pitt is already bowl eligible. BC needs to get to bowl eligibility with a win here. And how about this number? Boston College is 16-5-1 against their number in the last 22 ACC games. I just think 9 points is way too much here, especially going up against Pitt, who didn't even put a point up on the board last week. I'll take Boston College plus the 9 points. Next, we're going to head to Bedlam. You know I love a home underdog. Oklahoma State is a 13.5-point home underdog to Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they've been playing with fire lately. They squeaked by Iowa State. Miracle comeback against Baylor. They looked sloppy last week against TCU. I think, if my math serves me right, the last three games, Iowa State, Baylor, and TCU, they've only won by a total of like 8 points combined. They just can't continue to play like this and not eventually get upset again like what Kansas State to them earlier this season. They've been turning the ball over like crazy lately too. Oklahoma State's been a really good football team lately. They have the leading rusher in the country with Chuba Howard. The betting numbers, they favor Oklahoma State in a big way here too. Oklahoma State is 7-1 against the number in their last 8 home games, and Oklahoma is 0-4 against the number in their last 4 conference games, and 0-4 against the number in their last 4 road games. I had this one written down as like a 6.5-pointer for Oklahoma, so I'm shocked that the number is as high as 13.5 points. That is tremendous value for the home point underdog, so I am all over Oklahoma State here, plus they're 13.5. And my lock of the week, Wake Forest. They head to the Carrier Dome to face Syracuse. Wake is a 4-point favorite. This spread is way too low. Syracuse has had a really lousy season. This was a 10-win team last year. They pushed Clemson to the brink last year, won the year before that against them. This was supposed to be a 9 or 10-win team again this year. Instead, they are 4-7. They only have one win in conference, and that is their only win against a Power 5 football team. Just brutal for a team that had much higher expectations. As they say in Syracuse, well, it's officially basketball season. Don't expect much of a crowd to be at the Dome in this one. And on the other side, Wake's a really good football team. They're 8-3 on the year, one of the best offenses in the nation. Syracuse can't stop anyone. Louisville went up and down the field on them, no problem last week. Wake is also 3-0-1 versus the number when facing a team with a losing record this season. I had this one written down as Wake Forest easily a 10 or 11 point favorite, so they're getting a lot of value here by only being a 4-point favorite. Tremendous value. So I love them as a lock of the week. Those numbers just scream out lock of the week here. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Wake Forest. They're my lock of the week, 4-point road favorites against Syracuse.
Here we go. Red 29. That is.
And now to the game that matters most on Saturday, the game. Michigan welcomes Ohio State to the Big House. Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the country, undefeated 11-0 and 8-0 in the Big Ten. Michigan ranked 10th in the national poll, although surprisingly 13th in the college football playoff rankings. Thought maybe they'd go up a spot or two this week. But nonetheless, Michigan 9-2 on the year, 6-2 in the Big Ten. College football playoff ranking doesn't matter to them. They are winners of 4 straight by very impressive margins, and they would love to be winners of 5 straight in the hopes of a New Year's Six game are certainly still within reach. It is the Fox National Game of the Week. Thank you for them for keeping things traditional and giving them the noon kickoff it deserves. Maybe better for the weather as well, as the forecast continues to push the rain until later in the afternoon. Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt on the call. Of course, it'll be Jim Brandstander and Dan Dierdorf. They'll call the game on the Michigan Learfield IMG radio network on radio stations across the great state of Michigan. Well, the stats you need to know on this one, a lot of stats for this one. It's the 116th meeting between the two programs. Michigan has a 58-51-6 advantage in the series. But of course, it's Ohio State that's won 7 straight, which I'm sure Urban Meyer will be so happy to remind everyone about several times in the pregame show on Fox on Saturday. Ohio State has also won 14 of the last 15. Now, it's the 23rd time now that the two schools will face each other in a top 10 matchup. Ohio State holds the advantage there, 11-9-2, but Michigan has won 7 of the last 10 in the battle of top 10 team scenario. Jim Harbaugh looking for his first win against Ohio State, and Ryan Day, he's looking for his first win against Michigan in his first official season at the helm for the Buckeyes. And this might be one that will get under your skin. If Ohio State wins on Saturday, it will surpass Michigan as college football's all-time leader in win percentage. Michigan's still number one in wins, for the record. Michigan currently with 40 more wins over Ohio State. But Ohio State with a win on Saturday would have the higher win percentage, making them number one in win percentage and Michigan number two. If you're betting the game, Ohio State is currently an 8.5-point favorite in the game. Ohio State is 7-3 against the number this season, but they failed to cover the last 2 weeks against Rutgers and Penn State. I mean, gosh, even Michigan covered against those two teams. And Michigan's on a nice tear against the number, too. They've covered in their last 5 straight. Of course, Ohio State presents a different challenge here on Saturday. I'll tell you what. I think if you asked anyone about this game back in early October, what they were thinking about what would happen on Saturday, it was unhappy thoughts. But the way Michigan's been playing since halftime of the Penn State game, you have to have some sense of optimism here. It's been documented since trailing Penn State at 21-0, Michigan has been on a tear. They've outscored opponents 187-52. Shea Patterson has thrown for 1,215 yards with 12 touchdowns and just 1 interception. Michigan's defense has allowed an average of 230 yards per game. Compare that with any other team in the country right now, and Michigan is one of the hottest football teams. Now, the problem? Ohio State's been flat-out dominant this year. Ohio State enters the game on Saturday with the number one scoring offense and the number one scoring defense in the country. They're averaging 49 points per game and only giving up on average 10.5 points per game. That's unreal. But it's not too far off from what Michigan has done in their current win streak. It's just that Ohio State has averaged that margin the entire season, over 11 games so far. And when you look at total offense and defense, they have the 6th-ranked total offense in the country and the number one total defense in the country. And by the way, all the stats I just gave, they are number one in the Big Ten and in the country in all those categories. So there's no doubt that Michigan is truly facing the best team in the nation on Saturday. Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, J.K. Dobbins, Ohio State's running back, they have been a complete 1-2 punch in the rushing game for the Buckeyes. The top rushing offense in the country, they're averaging 282 yards per game. It is going to be so important for Michigan to find a way to bottle up that ground attack for Ohio State. And when you watch the games and you watch the film, it's hard to stop. I mean, they run a killer RPO scheme. So it won't be much different than what the Michigan defense has to defend against each week in practice. But Fields is a dangerous threat to keep the ball and pick up big yards. And when he hands the ball off to J.K. Dobbins, he is a massive threat to break off big gains as well. And they've had a lot of success running that football because that offensive line, the best O-line that Michigan has faced since the Wisconsin game, and we know how that went. Michigan has been playing much better football since then, but that O-line has been just as good for Ohio State. When you look at their passing game, not as dominant as their rushing game. Olave has been awesome at wide receiver for them, but a lot of Ohio State's success in the passing game has been because of how good their running game is. And it makes sense, right? Tear up and gash you on defense on the ground, we'll load up the box on you, try to sell out on the run, and boom, you beat them over the top. So it'll be interesting to see how Dom Brown has this defensive attack get to the Ohio State offense on Saturday. You get this sense they're going to try to do everything possible to shut down the Ohio State running game and put the pressure on Fields to make plays through the air, something that Fields hasn't really had to do so far this season. In games like this, it's about making the other team get in an uncomfortable situation, face some adversity, and that's something that Justin Fields has not had to be in a game yet where they've trailed significantly or where he's had to really make the plays happen through the air more so than on the ground running the football. On the other side of the ball, the Michigan offense is firing on all cylinders right now, and you know they're going to want to find all sorts of success against Benedict Arnold. Oh, wait, that's not his name. I'm sorry, Greg Madison. That's his name. They're going to want to find as much success against the guy that left Michigan to go be the defensive coordinator at Ohio State in Greg Madison. Now, Michigan's going to face a serious test against this Ohio State defense. Mentioned their number one defense in the country. How about this stat? They've held all 11 opponents they face this year to under 300 yards of total offense. That's the first time they have ever done that in the history of the program. And they have easily one of the best players in America on that defense, Chase Young. He's a dominating force on the defensive line for Ohio State. Michigan will need to find a way to contain him or at least slow him down enough so Patterson has time in the pocket to throw the football. Now, the good thing for Michigan here is that they faced some really strong defenses this season. In this win streak, they faced Notre Dame and Michigan State. And of course, in the game they did lose prior to the win streak, they faced a really tough Penn State defense that they had a lot of success with in the second half. All those teams, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan State, they have all found success against those defenses, and those have been really good defenses throughout the year. That D-line and that linebacking core for Ohio State is so good, you expect it's going to be hard to run the ball against them. They only give up around 91 yards per game, but other than Jeff Okuda, their superstar cornerback, there just might, be some opportunity there for Michigan to make some big plays happen through the air. Michigan has plenty of talent with Collins, DPJ, Black, and Bell. Okuda can only match up against one of those guys. So Michigan has an opportunity there to maybe expose Ohio State's secondary, assuming they have enough time to get the ball out to those receivers. So as I say all this, sure, there's no doubt based on how they have played all season and the matchups on paper and the recent series history and all that, it goes to say that Ohio State could and should win the football game. But I'm telling you, you know this better than anyone else. We know this better than anyone else. This is a rivalry game. Crazy things happen in college football. And I think Michigan has a much better shot in this game than a lot of people think. First, the motivational factor. At some point, you just got to say, I am sick and freaking tired of losing to these guys. And there are a few intangibles here that play in Michigan's favor. It's the 50th anniversary of the 1969 game, Bo's first game against Ohio State. Michigan, a huge upset victory in that game against an Ohio State team that was considered one of the best teams in college football that year. Kind of like how good they've been this year. That 1969 team, they're going to be honored on Saturday. Many of those players will be speaking to the team on Friday. You think that's not going to fire those guys up more than they already are? Certainly it will. Jim Harbaugh, he hasn't beaten Ohio State yet. You think he wants to win this one bad? No doubt about it. And we heard this week that he had t-shirts made with last year's 62-39 score on them. He passed them out to the team before the season. I'm sure he's referenced those shirts several times this week. And how about this intangible? Ryan Day. I mean, look behind the curtain here. You've got a dude, new head coach, hasn't faced any adversity on the field this season. Of course, some small adversity with the Chase Young situation, the adversity he faced in a couple games last year where he filled in for Urban Meyer. But how much adversity has he really had on the field? And even the Chase Young adversity, not much there. I mean, you lost him playing in two of the easiest games on the schedule. But think about this. This guy comes in, Ryan Day, about to coach in his first ever game in this rivalry. He's replacing a coach that is a freaking hero in Columbus because he never lost to Michigan. Can you imagine what kind of pressure Ryan Day must be feeling this week? Can you imagine what kind of pressure he will be feeling on Saturday? The bottom line is this. Coaches get fired in Columbus when they don't beat Michigan. John Cooper, Earl Bruce, they won games like crazy down there, but they struggled beating Michigan and they got canned. Ryan Day is facing a lot of pressure this week. And you heard me talk about it with Kyle Rowland earlier. He ran a Twitter poll. Ohio State fans, would you rather lose to Michigan but win the national title or beat Michigan and not win the national title? 41% of people surveyed, Ohio State fans, said they would rather beat Michigan but lose the national title. 41%. How delusional is that? Isn't the national title the ultimate prize? I mean, that's how much Ohio State is focused on Michigan. That's how much they hate Michigan. So just imagine how much pressure Ryan Day must be feeling going into this game. And if Michigan puts Ohio State in a position of adversity in this game, how does the head coach respond? I cannot imagine what pressure he must be feeling this week and what that pressure could be like in the game on Saturday. Talked about Michigan's defense, Don Brown. You know he's going to get the defense fired up. These guys on that defense, they saw one of their key defensive coaches in Greg Madison defect and go to Ohio State. You think that won't fire those guys up to make a statement on Saturday? Prove to him he made the wrong decision? There is no doubt the defense is going to be fired up in that scenario. And I mentioned adversity. Ohio State hasn't really faced any of it so far this year. I mean, some could say they did a little bit in the Penn State game last week, but did they really? They were dominating Penn State. They were up 21-0 in that game. They had the two fumbles, couple quick scores for Penn State, but Ohio State answered back and pulled away. If those fumbles didn't happen, and those were self-inflicted, by the way, that game was going to be a total blowout. So if Ohio State faces adversity on Saturday, how do they handle it? We know the Big House is going to be lit. We know the team is going to come out fired up and looking to play inspired football. They are sick and tired of losing to this football team. All of Ohio State's tougher games this year, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, those were all in Columbus. This is the first time all year they'll be playing in hostile territory on the road. How will they handle it? So I say all this because as much as the national media and a lot of people out there will try to convince you that there's no chance Ohio State loses this game, that they are the best team in the country, they certainly are not untouchable. Have they been the better team this year? Sure. Are they better statistically? Absolutely. Are they better on paper? Yeah. But does Michigan not have a shot in this game? Of course Michigan has a shot in this game. So how do they do it? Defensively, there is no doubt Michigan has to find a way to shut down the run. They need to key in on J.K. Dobbins, and they will need to limit Justin Fields' ability to take off and run from the quarterback position. If they can figure out a way to do that, if they can figure out a way to force Ohio State to beat them in the passing game, then that's a major win for the Michigan defense. It is much more likely to see Michigan pull out a win here if they can stop the run and force Ohio State to rely on the passing game. However, to this point, no other defense has done that, so it is a tall task. Offensively, Shea Patterson needs to continue to ball out. This is the game he dreamed of winning, and he will need to play lights out. That means using his feet. That means making quick decisions and getting the ball into playmakers' hands. That's easier said than done, and this will be as challenging of a game as ever for this football team. But the thought that they are going to get blown out here, or that Ohio State is this Goliath that can't be stopped, not buying it. It will take Michigan's best performance, but it's not like they don't have a shot to play shocker here and pull the upset, especially if they play with their hair on fire and make Ohio State face some adversity. So how do I feel the game will shake out? It's a tall task, but all the pressure's on Ohio State here. The experts, the analytics, everything says they should win this one with no issue. So what happens if they play tight? What happens if they face adversity? How do they respond to that? I don't do it often, but I've picked against Michigan here in the podcast. I did it earlier this season when they faced Penn State. I refuse to pick against Michigan when they're playing Ohio State. I can't find it in my heart or my mind to do it, but I'm not spewing nonsense here because I know it's a tall order, but Ohio State is beatable in this game, especially based on how Michigan is playing lately. Michigan's playing their best football of the season. They have a quartet of receivers in DPJ, Nico Collins, Tariq Black, Ronnie Bell, one of the best receiving groups in the nation. Shea Patterson, he's brimming with confidence right now and playing the best football of his life. Michigan's run defense. They've only had one bad game all season versus Wisconsin. They've been lights out ever since, even against teams with mobile quarterbacks like Ohio State. Michigan has home cooking at the Big House. Michigan has Jim Harbaugh. Ohio State has a rookie coach that hasn't faced any adversity on the field and deep down has to be feeling the pressure of needing to beat Michigan. And Justin Fields, we have not seen him in a big game of this magnitude just yet. Keep in mind, this is a guy that lost out the starting job to Jake Fromm down in Georgia. How will he play in a game of this magnitude? He hasn't played in one yet. Add all that up, and it's a recipe. Maybe not the best recipe, but it's a recipe that Michigan can work with to win this game on Saturday. As long as they play as close to a perfect game on Saturday and they keep the momentum rolling on both sides of the ball like they had the last few games, they can win this one. So I'm doing it. I'm picking them to pull off the upset here, and how can I not? Michigan 27, Ohio State 24. That will do it for this week's edition of Hail to the Pod. Thank you so much to Kyle Rowland from the Toledo Blade for hopping on the show earlier, and thank you to you for tuning in to the podcast as always. You can tweet me at krich23. You can email the show at hailtothepod@gmail.com. And be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast everywhere your favorite podcasts are found, including Google Play, Apple iTunes, and Spotify. Enjoy the game at the Big House on Saturday, Michigan and Ohio State. It's going to be a good one. And as always, go Blue.